I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.
This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. Israeli tanks advanced to the heart of Rafah for the first time on Tuesday, pressing its offensive in Gaza's southern city, despite international condemnation of an attack that sparked a blaze in a tent camp for the displaced, killing at least 45 people. Reuters correspondent Angela Johnston.
Displaced Palestinians in Rafah made their way through mangled tents and scattered belongings on Tuesday after an early morning Israeli airstrike killed Palestinians sheltering there, according to Gaza health officials. We want to go, but we don't know where to go, says Manel Tembura. They told us this was a safe place. Israel's military denied striking a tent camp west of Rafah on Tuesday after Gaza health authorities said Israeli tank shelling had killed more than 20 people there.
Meanwhile, the Israeli military is investigating the airstrike Sunday in southern Gaza's Rafah that killed more than 40 civilians, according to a spokesperson Tuesday.
We are looking into all possibilities, including the option that weapons stored in a compound next to our target, which we did not know of, may have ignited as a result of the strike.
Chief military spokesperson Rear Admiral Daniel Hogari added footage of the incident indicated there were secondary explosions following the strike. He said it was still unclear what set off the deadly blaze in the southern Gaza city of Rafah, but added that 17-kilogram munitions used in the strike were believed to be too small to have set off such a big fire. Spain, Ireland, and Norway have formally recognized a Palestinian state. It's a step toward a long-held Palestinian aspiration that was fueled by international outrage over the civilian deaths and humanitarian crisis in Gaza Strip. This is VOA News. A major printing house in Kharkiv was hit during recent advances and deadly strikes by Moscow's forces on Ukraine's second-largest city. Details from Reuters correspondent Sean Hogan.
Sergei Politucci arrived at his burning printing house in Kharkiv before firefighters. The destruction caused by the mid-morning Russian missile attack last Thursday is seared into the 70-year-old's mind. The attack killed 7 employees and wounded 16 others. The works was the biggest printer in Ukraine and a key part of its publishing industry, producing 40% of Ukraine's printing capacity and almost half of its educational textbooks. The missile attack caused $5 million worth of damage, but Politucci is intent on rebuilding his business and hopeful of receiving funds from Ukraine's government or foreign donors.
South African President Cyril Ramaphosa faces the prospect of his ruling party's worst election result ever, yet he is still likely to be re-elected as leader of Africa's most advanced country. After Wednesday's national vote, several polls have support for his African National Congress at below 50%, putting it in danger of losing its majority for the first time in South Africa's 30 years of democracy. The ANC is still expected to win the most parliament seats. That should get Ramaphosa's second and final term as parliament decides on South Africa's president, but the ANC has a history of withdrawing support in troubled times. Former U.S. President Donald Trump's lawyer on Tuesday told jurors during closing arguments in the hush money trial that the key witness lied. AP correspondent Julie Walker.
Donald Trump sat by stoically during closing arguments by one of his defense lawyers in his hush money trial, who spent 2.5 hours telling jurors President Trump is innocent, he did not commit any crimes, and the DA has not met their burden of proof, period, and the evidence in the case should leave you wanting. Trump's attorney also calling star witness Michael Cohen the MVP of liars, out to get his former boss. The defense trying to discredit weeks of testimony that prosecutors say proved the former president interfered in the 2016 election through a scheme to suppress stories seen as harmful to his campaign. At criminal court in Manhattan, I'm Julie Walker.
Pope Francis apologized Tuesday after he was quoted using a vulgar and derogatory term about gay men to reaffirm the Catholic Church's ban on gay priests. The ruckus that ensued underscored how the church's official teaching about homosexuality often bumps up against the unacknowledged reality that there are plenty of gay men in the priesthood and plenty of LGBTQ+ Catholics who want to be fully part of the life and sacraments of the church. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.